and through the preaching of the word. After the service, you're invited for refreshments, for some conversation. We have a prayer room above the stairs. So if anyone would like to pray with someone, pray for someone, share a prayer, then you're invited to do that as well. A few announcements before we begin. You will, of course, notice the flowers that are here. Understandably, the Botma family is on flower overload. So if anyone would like to take pieces of them or flowers home or do something with them, by all means, you are invited to do so, because there are lots of flowers at the Botma family. Your renewal challenge for this week is you have a little slip in your mailbox slot, and this is for adults as well as for kids. And your challenge is to simply reach out. It's a pretty simple challenge for someone. If you can reach out this week to someone, encourage them with a phone call, with a visit or a card, spend some time with someone, reach out to a shut-in, to a neighbor, a single parent, senior, whoever. And then your memory verse that you're going to have this week, it's not as long as 2 weeks ago, Matthew 25, verse 40, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Let's rise. This is a day when all of us are reminded that we belong, for God's promises and grace are for all children. God gathers his people, from the youngest to the oldest, to worship and to hear God speak. Come, let us worship our great God. Come, lift up your hearts. Let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let's shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. If you could continue standing, we're going to sing, Let All Things Now Living.
Thank you. is God by His Spirit who gathers His people together to worship. And God is here, not because this is a church building, but because we, His people, are the church. And we are filled with His Spirit, and the Spirit unites us as one body. So the God who calls us to worship greets us, and He blesses us, and He says, "May the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit and the blessing and grace of the Son be with us. Amen." And in a culture that avoids talk of sin or culpability, our prayers of confession are rather countercultural. In fact, we might say any admission of sin is counterhuman. It goes against our nature to confess what we have done wrong, where we have fallen short. Sin, by nature, denies wrongdoing. But God calls us to be honest about our actions, honest about where we have fallen short in loving Him and loving others. And in that honesty, we find forgiveness and therefore grace and peace. Please join me in a prayer of confession using the words of Psalm 51. And then continuing that prayer with the singing of "Not What My Hands Have Done." Let's pray. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Amen. of baptism is a visual sign and a strong comfort that we have been forgiven. We belong to Christ, and we are God's children. Listen to these words from Romans 8. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received a spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. Praise and glory to him. Amen. In the peace that you have in being forgiven, I invite you to stand and greet those around you and bless them with the peace that you've been given in Christ. Let's join together in a song of thanks and praise using the third verse of Not What My Hands Have Done.
Luke. didn't get it. For some reason, people don't always understand and understand Jesus and the need to follow Jesus. But we know it's always good weather and it's always a good time to discover God's love. Let's pray together. Dear God, help us to be wise and to understand that it's always the right time and season to follow Jesus. Okay, let's end up and we're going to say, the Lord be with you. We're going to have to say it kind of loud because there's not that many people here. 1, 2, 3.
The Lord be with you. And also with you.
Hey guys, fam.
Before we go to our family prayer and our prayer for the world and for our community, a few things I wanted to bring up. Fred and Marg are heading off to Haiti this week to spend a couple of weeks there. We'll remember them in prayer, and we're going to ask God that they be blessed when they're there and they be a blessing to others. We also have another prayer of Tracy. Tracy's granddaughter, Elena, her court case comes up this week for custody, and that's a difficult thing to deal with. It's weighing heavily on their minds, so we're going to pray for them as well. Let's pray. Creator God, we are wowed, and we are in awe of what you and what you have created, of what you have done and what you have created. This week, we have seen how the sun and the moon and the stars and the planets and the earth all remain in place, in obedience, in orbit, according to your plan. We have been amazed by the eclipse, and we know that that's all part of your creation. We see every night that your stars obediently shine. We see how all the universe remains in good order, and we are amazed. And we know, God, that you can, in a moment, cause the stars to stumble or the earth to fall out of its orbit. But we also know that you won't, because you've created all things beautifully and you love your people and your creation. And we thank you, God, that you stick with what we call the laws of nature. We thank you for gravity, for physics, for balance, for the air that we breathe, and for water that we can drink. We have much to be thankful for, God. We thank you for eyesight, for appetites, for bones, and for lungs, and for sensitive skin. We thank you for strength, for the power of healing, and just for the ability to stand up and sit down. We thank you for the ability to run and to walk and to skate, ski. You have made us, and you have made us beautifully. We know, God, that you created everything. We know that you also created Hurricane Harvey in Texas, and we wonder why this happens when we get too much rain, when we get too much wind, and when we see damage to people and to places and to trees and sidewalks, and we wonder why this happens. Please, God, when we see calamities and natural disasters, will you intervene so that your people and your creation doesn't suffer? We pray, too, that the forest fires in BC may diminish. We know that you have the power to control everything, to bring rain and to stop the wind and to put an end to the fires. We ask you to intervene again so that your world and your creation does not suffer. We also know, God, that you have suffering people all over the world. We pray for peace so millions of refugees can return home. We pray for solutions where hunger and where poverty are the norm. We pray for the staff and the volunteers at World Renew doing development work and relief work where it's needed. We pray for so many other agencies that do similar work, and we thank you that there is slow progress in alleviating poverty. Will you work in the minds of world leaders so that they may create conditions where conflict is reduced and where people might thrive? God, we pray for peace. When we see the world leaders of North Korea and United States flex their muscles, we worry. We worry that needless harm may come to your people, and we ask you to cause countries to work together for common good. We pray to you, God, that the world powers may be obedient to your will. God, we ask you for forgiveness when we do harm to your creation and to your people. We seek justice, Lord, and we know that we don't always live so that all may live justly. Help each of us not to discriminate, not to look down on others, not to ridicule, to not think of ourselves as better than others. Cause us to look for harmony and to build each other up, to care for the suffering and to share our wealth and to respect your creation. God, we are thankful. We're thankful for water and for trees and for conveniences, for good infrastructure, for heat in our homes, for national parks, and for health care, for the privilege of living in Canada, a land of freedom and opportunity. We thank you, God, for small things like mosquitoes and paper bags and shoes and bricks. We are in awe of what you lend us, and we are thankful. God, we are thankful and we praise you for our church, for this church, yes, but also for the Christian Reformed Church. We thank you for the many ministries of our church, and we thank you for the many people who lead the ministries and all our staff. Bless them and bless their work. Will you cause our church, your church, to thrive? We pray for the many church plants that are underway, and we pray that many may come to know you. We pray that you may cause us, too, to make more and better disciples. We pray for your church everywhere. We also pray for the activities and the mission and the ministries of our church here in Sarnia First. We ask you to use us to have a positive effect on others. Help us as we volunteer and we work and we seek to serve you here at Sarnia First. May you see us as builders of your kingdom. God, as much as we are thankful for our health and thankful for your good creation, we know that today there are some people here whose minds have little room for praise and thanksgiving. Will you comfort those who are grieving the loss of Jack Botma? We know that being born and living life and finally dying is all you're doing, but we suffer so much when one of us leaves our homes and our families. Death is difficult for us, Lord, and we rely on you to bring comfort and to bring healing. God, we ask you to bring all of us to a spot where our minds are clear enough so that we can smile and laugh and easily give honor and praise to you. We have a long list of people in our church family that are in pain, those that are not able to function as they once could. We think of Art. We think of Jenny, whose healing processes seem to be taking so long. And we think of those in our family who are struggling with cancer, with heart condition and other ailments that just don't seem to go away. We pray for those who are struggling with depression or with diabetes and dementia, Parkinson's and addictions or chronic pain. Not only within our own church family, God, but so many of us have friends and relatives who are not well. And we have so much concern for. We pray for healing for so many people. God, we also pray for Elena, Tracy's granddaughter, whose custody care comes up this week. We pray for safety. We pray for good outcomes. We pray your blessing on what may come of this. And our prayers are also today with Fred and Marg, who are off to Haiti this week. We ask that you may help their time to be safe and to be rewarding. God, we also ask you to be with Marg today as she brings us a sermon or a message. We thank you for Marg and her skills and her commitment. Thank you, God, for giving Marg the desire to serve your people as pastor. Thank you for the time and the effort you have given her to prepare and bring a message to us. And may our time of study together in this hour be of good learning and benefit to you and to us and to Marg. Amen. We're now going into a time when we can share our blessings. We have two offerings today. The first is for ministry shares, and the second is for the work at St. Joseph's Hospice.
Please stand for a song of preparation to prepare our hearts for hearing God's word.
Thank you.
We turn this morning to the book of Romans, and if you open your pew Bible, it's found on page 1097. Romans was written by the Apostle Paul, who wrote a lot of the letters and books in the New Testament. And I don't know about you, but I find Paul a little thick. You read a text or you read a chapter, and then you kind of got to go back and read it again because it's sometimes kind of hard to understand. He was a tent maker, and he writes a little more like a lawyer. So I invite you to open your Bible, and maybe you'll want to keep it open as I go through the sermons and go through the different verses. But before we read that text, let's pray. Lord God, you have declared that your kingdom is among us. Open our eyes to see it, our ears to hear it, our hearts to hold it, and our hands to serve it. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 5. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what the nature desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death. The mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are not controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. This is the word of the Lord. Well, what time is it? Before you pull out your cell phones or check your watches, it's about 10:30, and you have about a 45-minute sermon ahead of you. Not really. It won't take us that long to answer this question, what time is it? What time is it? We could answer that question by talking about the times we are living in. Times that are often filled with unrest and uncertainty and little peace. As well as this time in Western culture that tells us there's no right or wrong. People are truly good inside. They just make wrong choices. Society says we are good enough to choose good over evil if we just want to. And we can summon this inner human power that sets our own destiny for good. And clearly, Paul in this text is debunking that way of thinking, that mindset, when he describes the extent of the human struggle due to the depravity of sin. He's describing these two kinds of mindsets at work in the world, and he makes a distinct contrast between those who live according to sin, who follow their own will and desires, who are unable to please God, hostile to God, and unable to follow the law, and those who live by the Spirit, seeking God's will and God's desire, not under the law, but seeking to follow God's law in order that all may live well and please God. Paul uses strong language in this confrontation with paganism because there's no denying certain beliefs are untrue. Certain practices are simply wrong. Certain ways of community living are not how the Creator God intended us to live. And there's no denying the brokenness of sin and depravity in humanity. So what we might be tempted to do when we read this text in this black and white contrast is give ourselves permission. Permission to have an us and them mentality, one that divides people into good and bad, right and wrong, God lovers and God haters. Some of us were raised with very clear lines of what's right and wrong with regards to actions and behavior, with clearly stated rules of that's wrong and that's okay. And we can use those lines to define people as right or wrong, good or bad, Christians or not. And we draw a line of judgment in the sand. And when we draw that line, we sometimes lift our heads a little higher. And we have to be so careful. Because that's a quick fire way to let judgment and self-righteousness become the identity of the Christian life. And the problem with drawing a line of judgment in the sand is that it's a pretty fine line. One gust of truth and you'll get sand in your face. One little misstep and you've crossed the line. One look at that grain of sand in your neighbor's eye and you'll miss the plank in your own. You see, if we're honest with ourselves, if we read this text and we're willing to use it as Paul intended by reflecting on our own actions rather than judging that of others, then the text makes us struggle a bit. It might even make us question, where do I stand, really? Even though I'm a Christian, I still sin. And I can often be judgmental, tight-fisted when it comes to giving, and lacking in compassion for the brokenness in this world. While we all know people who claim no Christian faith, who are tolerant, very generous, and more than compassionate, we still sin. We still desire riches and success that goes against what the Spirit desires. We aren't always governed by peace in our homes or in the church. We often fail to please God and fully submit to His law. So let's face it, the line we're tempted to draw in the sand is a little blurred, isn't it? In this narrative of the times we live in, we need to know Paul is setting a contrast between two types of people, not so that we judge those sinners of the world, but that we understand, that we see this contrast to clearly define our now position in Christ. And that position is this. Yes, we still struggle with sin, but we are not controlled by it. Nor do we any longer want this sinful nature to shape our thinking or desires. By God's grace, we're set on a path of conversion that makes us hate sin more and more and desire to be more and more like Christ. And so much of this comes down to our understanding of verse 9. And our answer to the question Paul keeps asking, what time is it? Listen again to verse 9. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. You need to read this verse with care, because that "if" in the middle of that first sentence could really make us doubt. It could make us question if the Spirit of God lives in us. The question might be, I still sin. My desires aren't always lined up with the Spirit, so does the Spirit live in me? Maybe the Spirit of God lives in me at some times when I feel close to Him, but then at other times I don't have the Spirit of Christ and am in the realm of the flesh. Is that what that verse is saying? Is that how we understand it? No. 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 The if in that sentence isn't a question, it's a statement. An if and indeed statement. A way of wording that Paul often uses to say, yes, indeed, you are in the realm of the Spirit. You who belong to Christ have the Spirit within you. And the Spirit who dwells within you stays within you, because Jesus said, I will be with you always. You indeed belong to Christ, and nothing can snatch you from His hand. You live in the realm of the Spirit forever. Do you belong to Christ? Your yes is proof the Spirit lives within. That is an incredible reality. The Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of the risen Christ dwelling in you. What Paul really wants us to understand is the narrative of the time we live in, the time according to God, the time according to God's story and God's plan, the time when the brokenness of humanity brought on by the fall has been redeemed by the cross of Jesus. This time when the power of death is broken by the power of the resurrection of the living Christ. And Paul in the book of Romans keeps asking the question, what time is it? And his answer is this: we're living in the time of the already but not yet. When the age of salvation has already begun, but the age of sin and death has not yet ended. And we live in this in-between time, the overlap of the ages, but we're not caught in the middle. We are liberated in the middle. We are free in Christ. We are free to serve God in a new way, with a new heart and a renewed mind. We are able to have peace and to desire by the Spirit what God desires and to please God. Do you belong to Christ? Yes. Then the Spirit dwells within. Amazing. The Spirit of the living God in you, filling you, flowing through every part of you, giving you life, giving peace, giving you a new heart and a renewed mind, bringing you from that depth of hostility to crying out, Abba, Father, because now you belong to him. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ. And we are more than conquerors through him who loved us enough to die and rise and send us his spirit to dwell within. What time is it? For those of us who belong to Christ, we live as justified sinners, made right with God through Christ, even though we are not removed from the presence and influence of sin. That's the good news Paul proclaims when he says in verse 10, if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. Put another way, God is saying, I know you still struggle with sin. You still feel this sinful nature, but you are not controlled by it. You have my spirit, and you belong to Christ. Yours is the victory. So don't misunderstand struggle for defeat. Death is defeated, and the power of the resurrection is upon you. As part of finishing up my seminary studies, I was assigned a case study to reflect on. And the study was about a young woman named Kathy who went to her pastor and an elder and confessed to them a struggle with sexual immorality. And unfortunately, the elder, in his discomfort with this admission, went home and told his wife, who in turn then made a really nasty phone call to Kathy. And in reflecting on that particular story and the issue of a Christian who struggles with sin and brokenness in her life, I kept coming back to this text because I wish the story had ended differently. I wish that elder and his wife thought a little harder about their position in Christ, and therefore every believer's grace-given position in Christ. We are not defeated by the sin we struggle with. We are not controlled by it, but we belong to Christ, ruled by his righteousness, and we have his Spirit. This is the time of the Spirit of Christ dwelling within, given to every believer and to the church in order that we share his life and peace. And this Spirit we are given is God himself, Christ in us. The very Spirit that came upon Jesus to sustain him in his ministry. And that Spirit transforms our lives to answer the brokenness of sin in this time, so that we carry on in the power of the Spirit the ministry that Jesus began. All of this means we live as a community that embraces all who sin, including ourselves. And imagine what would happen if we begin to truly regard each other soul to soul. Regard each other as having the Spirit of the living God dwelling within us always. Then we will live confessing it is only God's grace that claims us out of confusion and hostility to him and sets about making us whole. Then we will live knowing wholeness remains a hope and encourage each other towards that hope. We will regard each other with the righteousness of Christ, we guard each other as belonging to Christ, having his Spirit. And that allows us to be open about our own struggles and brokenness, knowing no line is drawn in the sand. And then we will live as people sent out to proclaim to the world an answer to brokenness and unrest, to carry on the very ministry of healing and reconciliation to God, begun by Jesus in the power of the Spirit. So again, I say to you, do you belong to Christ? A wise person said, that is your only comfort in life and in death. Do we belong to Jesus? Then the Spirit dwells within us. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those of us in Christ. And we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, because we still face sin's darkness, we're reminded each day of the places your hope is needed. The things that led Jesus to the cross have not yet disappeared from the face of the earth. And the need for resurrection hope remains stubbornly present in the lives of millions. Send us out by the power of your Spirit with the gentleness of the Easter gospel, with grace and love and your message of peace and comfort. Amen. Please rise for our song of response. They'll know we are Christians by our love. Into the world in peace. Have courage. Hold on to what is good. Return no one evil for evil. Help the suffering. honor all, love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the blessing of the Lord God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you forever. And together we say,